It's fine. The one that's in next door, inner child.
Good morning.
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 I'm just welcoming the young lady. Somebody bring her in and give her a chair.
Oh,
there you are.
Good to see you, George.
So today is Palm Sunday. What does that mean to you? Is it as exciting as Christmas or the New Year? Easter is my favourite, my very favourite part of celebrating. I like Christmas, but it's becoming too commercialised and it's a baby who grows into a man. And that's what Easter is all about.
Mm-hmm.
So Palm Sunday is a Christian celebration that marks the beginning of what people call Holy Week, leading up to Easter Sunday. It commemorates Jesus' triumphant entrance into Jerusalem, where people laid down palms and branches in front of him as a sign of honour. In modern time churches, we hold Palm Sunday services in which worshippers are given a palm branch or a cross made from palm leaves. The celebration involves singing hymns. Well done, guys. But it's also a time when we can think, a reminder of the selfish love that Jesus showed by laying down his life for us. And it's a time to reflect on our own lives and how we can show that same love to those around us. Palm Sunday is the day we remember and celebrate the day Jesus entered Jerusalem as Saviour and King. As Jesus rode a donkey into the town of Jerusalem, a large crowd gathered and laid palm branches and their cloaks across the road, giving Jesus royal treatment. The hundreds of people shouted, what were the words they shouted, Basima?
Hosanna.
Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Now we know that Palm Sunday is a movable holiday because we've got calendars and different days on the past. And today is our Palm Sunday. I don't know what the children are doing next door, but I know it being exciting. I'm not sure what they're doing with the microwave, but I'm sure my sister knows what she's doing. So Tony read from us from Matthew 21, verse 4, and it tells us, he read from verse 1, sorry, but verse 4 tells us, it took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. And that prophecy is in Zechariah 9, verse 9, and also in Isaiah 62, verse 11. Why a donkey, you might say? Does anybody know why it was a donkey? Why wasn't it the best stallion around? Anybody want to tell me? Why was it a donkey? You've got the points, Ben. You've got the points. Exactly right. It was to symbolise humility, peace. Because when somebody came on a fine horse, it was like, I'm the king. You know, you're going to do what I'm going to say. Coming on a donkey was just coming down to everybody's level. When the people shouted Hosanna, they were hailing Jesus Christ as King. That word actually means save now. And though in their own minds they waited for an earthly king, God had a different way of bringing true salvation to all of those who trust in him. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And the Bible, which is God's authority, says, voice my bit. Jesus wept in Jerusalem. Amid the praise of the moment, he knew in his heart that it wouldn't be long that these same people who turned their backs on him would betray him and crucify him. His heart broke with the reality of how much they needed a saviour. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes." That's in Luke chapter 19, verses 41 to 42. Palm Sunday reminds us that the reign of Christ is far greater than any man's mind could ever conceive or plan. Man looked for someone to fight their battles in the present day war, yet God had the ultimate plan of sending his son to fight the final battle over death. This is the greatness of why we celebrate this week, because Christ's ultimate sacrifice, we can be set free from death. I bought this picture. It's lovely, isn't it? What do you mean, no? Wayne?
What?
It's lovely.
Maybe other side.
Who was that wise person? This is a picture, and I'm going to use Doug's life. Sorry, Doug. I don't know if you can see that clearly. I'm sure my husband's wondering what's been wrapped up in a piece of brown paper in our spare bedroom for a while. Now you know. This is a picture. I have a cousin, and it's actually my cousin's son. He paints for therapy. And he showed me this one over our conversations on phones. And he said, "I painted this roof when I was at my lowest point in life." He has mental health issues. Very complex family dynamics. His mum had him when she was 18. The father didn't stay around, and then the father came back, and she converted to another religion. She had been brought up a Catholic by my aunt. And then she wore the regalia that went with that. And then she had a son, obviously, by her now husband. It wasn't a pleasant experience for my cousin, and it's impacted on his life for many, many years. But he took up painting as a way of expressing what he felt. And I think this is wonderful. It's a picture of somebody walking into the light. My cousin is married, he has four children of his own now. He still suffers with mental health on occasions. But 3 years ago, he said to me, "I found Christ." Mm-hmm. And he now goes to a church where he lives in Basingstoke. And he said, "I didn't know Christians were like this. The love that they have shown me and poured out on me has been amazing." And he's given his life to Christ.
Amen.
And although he still has bad days in his life, but all the time, he knows that there is a greater prize at the end. So, that picture has come with me today. I think there's somebody in this fellowship today who might like that. Ask me afterwards, it will be yours. If God has touched you to say you need to be in the light, then please speak to me afterwards. So Palm Sunday, I'm a bit worried, we're all sitting there really quiet and really well behaved. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even if he dies." One of the most famous verses in God's word. We have so much to be grateful for this coming week. And do you know what? The enemy knows that. And you can bet he will do everything he can to distract us from what is next Sunday. Good Friday comes first, but Easter Sunday is the best. Don't let him win. Don't let him stop you reading God's word. Don't let him pray, stop you from praying.
No.
Don't let him stop you from sharing your faith.
No.
Don't let him stop you from coming next Saturday and handing out tracts. Because if Jesus was to come on a donkey now, he'd be moving over Merston.
Yeah.
And us as his children, because that's what we are. We may think that we're adults, but actually we're children of God. We need to do that calling that he's asked us to do. Go share my love. Go tell others about me. Let's choose to focus on worshipping our God, thanking him for the gift of his sacrifice, celebrating the power of the resurrection and the new life found in him alone. Now, we have another song to sing. I wanted the children to come out. Excuse me, teacher. How ready are you?
Well, I was waiting for the nod.
Nod. Give it a nod.
We've not finished yet.
Alex, give it a nod.
Can we go back in there?
Okay, so I want to just talk to you before we sing the last song, before the children come out, because this is really important, you see. Because as children, they look to us. We have got another song, haven't we?
Yeah, but I thought the kids would be back then.
They will, yes. Yes, they are, they will. I haven't finished yet, though. I've finished what I wanted to say about Palm Sunday, but I wanted to say, when our children come to church here, no matter how little or how old they are, my children are old. My daughter says she's going to stop aging this year.